Good to see this good crowd today. It's a privilege. You know, it's always a privilege to preach or teach on the Word of God. As a speaker and as a teacher, I have two purposes. First of all, to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one worth exalting, isn't he? And then to magnify the Word of God. And in case you understand, if not don't know me, I believe in the King James Version, every word in this. I believe what I understand, and I believe what I don't understand. It's all true, whether I understand it or not. And it is a privilege. And let's do pray for Brother Gary and the crowd. What a great opportunity they have. Let's pray for him. Father, we do pray for Brother Gary and those folks with him in Fiji. Lord, what a great opportunity to present the gospel, lift up Jesus as their only hope of their never-dying soul to these precious people. And God bless them. May they come back with a good report of what you've done. Now, Lord, I want to be a blessing and a help this morning, a spiritual help. And Lord, you touch me so I can be of help today and help me to be faithful to the Word of God and to the God of the Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, then there we have a song, and it's one of the most favorite songs of Baptists and all Christians down through the years, that written by Fanny Crosby. It says, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child, and forever I am." That's saying a lot, isn't it? Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child, and forever I am. Now, as I was going over old sermons and lessons that I've had in the past, some of you heard everything of God. That I taught this 16 years ago, and you've probably forgotten it because I had forgotten myself. But I'm gonna speak to you this morning on the word redemption. Redemption. Just do a word study of redemption. Now, the cross of Calvary is the very center of God's plan of salvation. Now, our salvation is like a jewel. You can study it and from many angles and admire its beauty. Just like you can go to the Pacific Ocean. I've been to both oceans. And I'm sure many of you have, and it's awesome, and it's just breathtaking, and in its immensity. And you know, that's the same way with salvation and redemption. It is in its immensity is awesome, and it's indescribable. Now I'm just gonna what I'm gonna teach to you today on redemption. I'm just sort of skirting the surface. Because it's deeper and more awesome than we could possibly understand. But each aspect of our salvation has its own brightness and peculiarity. Now, there are many aspects of salvation. There's repentance. How many have gone to Russia with us? Any of you ever been to Russia? Well, in Russia, we don't ask them, "Have you been saved?" Because they use the word repentance. Have you repented? And so that's a great, and by the way, unless you repent, you can't get saved. And then there's grace, and another aspect of salvation, faith, the new birth. Jesus said you must be born again if you're going to get to heaven. Regeneration, justification, assurance, the Word of God. I mean, it takes the Word of God. You have to believe the Word of God in order to get saved. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If you believe that Word, the Holy Spirit takes the seed, plants it in your heart, and you believe, you're born again. You're born of the Word. And then the Holy Spirit, sir, the agent of our salvation and redemption. Atonement, on and on we could go about the different aspects of salvation. But today, redemption. And following your outline there, let me get arranged up here. Now, the Redemption comes from a Latin word which means buy back. How many of you ever had Latin in school? Anybody had Latin in school? Well, I took Latin more years ago than I want to confess, but it's been many years ago. But I think it's one of the most helpful courses I've ever had, Latin. And the lady, Mrs. Snyder, she was a blessed teacher, just a wonderful Christian, wonderful teacher. And one thing I remember from my Latin book, and I've mentioned this before, some of you heard it. I had to, as a poor boy, I had to buy a well-used book. But I remember from my Latin book a poem, and it's been, 60 to 70 years ago. Latin is a dead language, as dead as it can be. It killed the Romans long ago, and now it's killing me. But this redemption comes from a Latin word, and the Latin word means buying back. And the word redemption gets an idea from the marketplace where slaves were put on display to be sold. And a person is in a position where the price must be paid before a transaction could be made and the ownership changed. Now when the slave is paid, the price is paid for the slave, they become the property of someone else. This is a definite act where the price has been paid, and this act is known as redemption. And you remember the redemption stores we used to have, take those little, books in and get redeemed some things. And now the Bible has many illustrations of redemption. I've listed four there in your outline. First of all, when Israel was down as slaves in Egypt, Moses, the time had come for God to redeem and deliver his people. And he told Moses, he said, I'm going to pass through Egypt at midnight. Gave him a certain day. He said, I want all the Israelites to take a perfect little lamb. It has to be perfect, no spot or blemish. And the little lamb has to die, and you have to catch the blood in a basin and put it on the top doorpost and each side doorpost and be in that house at midnight. And when I pass through the land, I'll pass over you. And the firstborn that's under the blood, and I'd pass over them. Now the Egyptians certainly didn't believe it. They didn't believe in that kind. And that night the Bible says in Exodus 12:30 that not a house in Egypt where there wasn't one dead, but every one of the firstborn in Israel, even their animals, lived because they were the redemption price for the redemption of the firstborn was the blood of the Lamb, the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then a second illustration of redemption, a maidservant could be sold back in the Old Testament days now. A maidservant could, sold to a man, could be bought back by her father, and because he had the right of redemption. Then the Levites, and I can't go into detail on this, but Levites served, as you know, the tribe of Levi served in the temple and tabernacle instead of the firstborn when they came out of Egypt. And the firstborn, in Numbers 3, there were 273 more firstborn Israelites than Levites. And those 273 had to be redeemed. And God said the price of their redemption, they had to pay 5 shekels. And that was the price of redemption. Then one of the most blessed stories of redemption, and I don't have time to go into this, it's the book of Ruth. Read it sometime. It'll be a great blessing to you. And Boaz redeemed this field, I don't have time to explain all the details there, as a kinsman redeemer, and it included a Moabite damsel who had come back with her mother-in-law to the land of Israel. And in buying the field, he redeemed also, it included Ruth, the little Moabite lady. And Boaz is a type of Christ, our kinsman redeemer. He came and took upon himself our flesh, human flesh, so he could qualify as our kinsman redeemer. And Ruth, a little Moabite lady, a Gentile, is a type of the church, the Gentile church of the bride that is being purchased by today by our Lord Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer. Now keep in mind, redemption is a definite transaction requiring a paid price. And then letter B there, the condition of men which requires redemption. Now folks, I hate to tell you about this, but man belongs to God by creation. We are his creatures. You don't have to turn to it. Let me turn to it right quick. In Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's, and not Obama's or not Hillary or not Trump or any of the rest of it. This earth belongs to God. And the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. So we belong to God by right of creation. And man fell in the garden, you know the story, from his exalted state of perfection. And he fell into sin. And as a result, man has become a slave to sin and to salvation. And never forget that without Christ, we're slaves to sin and to Satan. The taskmaster's sin is a bitter, cruel, and hard master. Now you can see that in all the drug addicts. I mean, they got into that sin, and now they're a slave to it. And when they put this methadone clinic out here to treat those addicts, all of their friends that's coming around here will be all over this area. And they're out there, they're going to come to that methadone if they put it in. And I hope to God it doesn't go in. But they'll come out there because they're a slave to sin. Some of you down the meeting the other night, where one man got up and said, you can get rid of any addiction if you decide you have the character to do it. And I'll say more in a minute, you can get rid of sin too, any drunkenness. You heard me tell about my uncle, worst drunk ever seen in your life. And he got born again. Never touched a drop of that stuff in the rest of his days on this earth. When you get born again, some changes will be made. But let me get back to right here. Don't get me off on preaching a little bit there. But the task, sin, there's two verses that teach this now. John 8:34, Jesus said, whoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. So until you get saved, you're a servant of sin. You're a slave to sin until you get saved. Now, we hate to think that about our little boys and girls and friends and neighbors, but if they've never been born again, the Bible says we're servants of sin. We're slaves to sin until we get redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. You know that. Then let me move on. Number C there, the channel of our redemption. Now, I love this. Redemption begins and ends where? With God. And it's all of grace. What is grace? Grace is unmerited what? Favor. Unmerited. I don't deserve the fact that I'm saved. It's just the grace of God. Just the grace of God that I've enjoyed down through the years. And a few things about our redemption by his grace. First of all, the origin of our redemption is with God. Now, I'm not a Calvinist. I believe in that God is omnipotent, but I believe in the free will of man. But we were chosen before. If you're saved, you were chosen before the foundation of the world. That it was the origin of our salvation is all with God before there was ever a world. And then the means is from God, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent his Son to provide. Aren't you glad he provided a Savior for us? Don't ever get away from the fact that you were lost one day, and if you're saved this morning, I assume most of you, if not all of you, are, that you were lost one day and a child of wrath. And when you get redeemed, you become a child of God. Thank God for our redemption. Now, the method of God for redemption is faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So we have to have faith in God. And then we're kept by God, by the power of God. In Turn with me in your Bibles, please. Turn over to Jonah right quick. And in Jonah, the second chapter, you know the story of Jonah. I won't spend time going into that, how he got in the belly of the whale, disobeyed God, and wound up in the open. You say you believe that? Well, the Bible teaches it, that he was in the belly of a whale. In chapter 2, verse 1, then Jonah prayed. When you get into trouble, it's good to pray, isn't it? It's good to pray. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Then move down to verse 9. I mean, man in the whale's belly ought to do some praying. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a thanksgiving. Jonah has a change of attitude, change of heart now. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord gave that whale a tummy ache there. And verse 10 says, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. So our redemption is all of God. And then our redemption is by the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. He is our Redeemer. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Wonderful. The more I think about this, I'm redeemed and I have a Redeemer. Isn't that wonderful just to think about that? And 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid that is who? Jesus Christ. He is our foundation. He's our Redeemer. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And Christ hung on the tree and became a curse for me and for you and for the whole world. And then Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through what? His blood. It's a blood-bought redemption. Now the goal of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, why was he born of a virgin, was our redemption. That's the Christmas story. He came to die and redeem man. Galatians 4:4 and 5 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why was he made of a woman and made under the law? To redeem them that were under the law. He came to be our Redeemer. And Christ completed the transaction of our redemption when he hung there on the cross and on the cross of Calvary and cried out, it is finished. The work of our redemption was complete. And the word of God says Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. You know, we ought to just stop and have about a shout, 5 minute shouting meeting, because we're redeemed this morning. Redeemed, if you'd drop dead right now, you'd go to heaven because you're redeemed. Your soul has been redeemed. And this redemption, I can't hardly cover that. I mean, just scratch the surface this morning. It's a wonderful, but thank God for Jesus, our Redeemer. Then let's look at D there. I've still got about 15 minutes, so I'm trying not to rush too much, but I want to get all this in. But the cost of our redemption. Now, the cost of our redemption was staggering. It's free. Our redemption is free to us, but costly to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Man had sinned and was in complete bondage to sin. The whole human race was in sin, which required a great price. And God saw, as he looked down from heaven, saw there was only one price that was available. Only one thing that would save fallen man, and that's the blood of his own Son. And his blood was the price of our redemption. That was the price that was paid to redeem us from the slave block of sin where we're bound. And 1 Peter 1:18-19 settles that once for all. For as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold or baptism or good works. Now I believe in all that. You know that. I believe we ought to live right and smell right and do right and stay out of the hell holes of the world and all dress right and all of that. But that won't redeem us. We were redeemed, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that will redeem us. I'm glad that the night I got saved, the old deacon put his arm around me and said, Gene, as a 13-year-old boy, will you trust Christ? I'm glad that he knew what he was talking about, knew the Lord. And that night, I said yes to Christ. I didn't. He said, Preacher, do you understand all about it? Well, no, you don't either, and I still don't know all about it. I'm talking to you about redemption, and I can't fathom all of it today. I understand the general principles of it, but I'm glad that night that old drunkard and got saved on the other side of the mourner's bench, shattered all over my house, and scared me to death. I went to church where you couldn't cough once hardly. They wanted to lead you out. But I went home, and Mama told Daddy I got Gene got saved tonight. Lad laid down on a bed, and the back room is hot down in North Chattanooga there at Soddy. Oh, it gets hot down there. It's hot around here, but it's just 5 to 10 degrees hotter down there. And I laid down on the bed and looked out at that moon, and it seemed to cover the whole sky. And you know what? That's the first time, I believe, I ever felt the presence of the Lord. I thought, I became a premillennialist the night I got saved. I thought, looked up at that sky and said, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if the Lord had come back tonight? And I'm glad for the redemption that there is. And by the way, it's stuck. I'll be 84 here in about 10 days, and it's stuck ever since I've been a 13-year-old boy. Have you, Gene, have you always been? No, and you haven't either. You haven't either. But I don't always feel the presence of the Lord because I get so backslid sometimes, just like you. But I'm glad I can go to my Heavenly Father and say, Lord, I was wrong. I sinned. And the birds then will start singing in my soul. I'm glad that my salvation is secure, but by my daily walk, I have to, about every day, have to do some repenting. And so do you. And as I've said many times, you know who the best Christians are at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Those that the best repenters. The best repenters immediately. You know, if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit. Every time I do even think something wrong, the Holy Spirit gives me. You know, that's a sign you're born again. If you can sin and can't get by with it. If you sin. Now you can sin because you still have this fleshly body. But if you can get by with it, you've never been born again. And I'm glad that when the Holy Spirit doesn't let me get by with sin. And well, let me get back to my outline here, but I got how much longer? I got about 10 minutes here. We're going to make it if I hurry. But let's see. But anyway, four things in mind right here. It's not the blood. By the way, it's not the good life of Jesus. So he lived a perfect life. It wasn't the blood in his veins. But it was the blood poured out on the cross, the shed blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no redemption for our sins. And his shed blood. Then second, there the blood can meet every need. I don't care. You may have a friend or loved one tonight you've given up on. You say there's no hope for them. Oh, yes, there is hope for them. If they'll come to Jesus, receive him, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse from all sin. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad? The blood still cleanses today. I know that not many are getting saved like used to. But the blood is still available. This is still a dispensation of grace, and they can be saved. And that's the only hope for America, is a message of the cross. And there's redemption. Then let's see, the lamb had to be a perfect lamb. And back down in Egypt, they had to inspect the lamb, make sure it was perfect. And you know, we have a perfect Redeemer, the Lamb of God. Pilate said in his court, I find no fault in him. And you know, I've never found any fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I find a lot of fault in myself, and I might find a lot of fault in you. But aren't you glad we find no fault in the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus said himself, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" And John, when he saw Jesus coming, the Holy Ghost told John the Baptist that Jesus was coming that day for him to be baptized. John saw him coming. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then he ransomed us from sin and all its consequences, all its awful consequences. I mean, we're seeing today the awful consequences of sin on every hand. I can't get over it. I've been on this earth a long time, but they're permitting men to walk in the ladies' bathroom. Who would ever heard such a ridiculous thing? I mean, that's right out of the pit. And well, I've still got my own clock up there. But, I better not get on that. But he ransomed us from sin and all its awful consequences. But you know what? Jesus, he came to die for our sins that we won't suffer the second death. And that's, he saved our soul. So that's, the second death is the lake of fire. And we ought to stop and shout about 5 minutes that we won't suffer the second death, which is lake of fire. So we have a lot in our redemption. Now, the E there, I'm going to make it, I think. The completion of our redemption. Our redemption is forever paid. For my soul and your soul, if you're saved, it's paid and it's forever paid up in heaven. Now, I'm still in this old fleshly body just like you are. The Lord still has a time with me. I have to get in the Word and watch what I'm doing and try to separate myself from the world and things like that. But we'll slip up. And my soul is redeemed, though. This old body is not redeemed yet. And the soul of the Redeemer, the price, redemption price has been paid. The soul of a believer is redeemed. If you're, how many of you saved this morning? Just wave your hand at me a little bit. You're redeemed forever, your soul. Your soul this morning that you have in your body. You're redeemed forever. However, the Bible speaks of a future day of redemption. And you would say, "Preacher, what's the problem here? Is there a contradiction in the Word of God?" No, I'm glad there is no contradiction in the Bible. We have been redeemed past by His blood on Calvary. Our souls have been redeemed. But one day, these old bodies will be redeemed. Aren't you glad of that? I mean, when I was 20 years old, I kicked off against Alabama. Worst night I've ever spent in my life. I was glad that game was over. And now I had to hold on to come up the steps to get in here this morning. One day, I'm going to get a new body. Won't that be wonderful? And I'm going to get a body like Jesus' body. I can't understand that. The Bible says we're going to be like Him, for we'll see Him just as He is. Aren't you glad of that? I'm looking forward to that perfect body, that redeemed body. So the price has been paid for the redemption of our soul, present tense. But this old body is awaiting redemption. But it will be redeemed one day. And we'll have that new body at the second coming of Jesus Christ. We'll be raised with incorruptible and glorified and perfect. Brother Leroy, aren't you glad of that? Amen. I remember when that night Brother Leroy got saved, Brother Steve and I there. I told him, we prayed with him, and I won't go into long detail on that. But I told Steve, we didn't have a Bible. We left our Bible in the car, and we took Leroy over to another room and prayed with him. Took him down a few verses of scripture out of Romans, and I remember. And he got saved. And I said, "Steve, go by and check him." Brother Steve went by the next day or two and said to me on Wednesday night, he said, "Preacher, I couldn't talk him out of it." And here he is sitting back there redeemed tonight, this morning rather. But at the second coming, let me pull this thing. We will be raised with a glorified, perfect body. Now, our charismatic friends, and there's a lot of good charismatic people, but they claim that healing of this body is in the atonement. That's not true. That's not true. Because some of the best people I've ever known have been sick people. And I know daddy had four girls and two boys, and both of us were captain of the football team at Saturday's high school, and both became Baptist preachers. And my brother's wife, first wife, died at 40 with cancer. And right before she died, some of the charismatics came to her and said, you can get healed. If you're not healed, there's two reasons. One, sin in your life or lack of faith. Now, isn't that cruel to tell a good lady that's been saved and servant of the Lord that there's sin in your life or lack of faith? And I'm glad my brother wasn't around. He'd ordered him out of the house there. But Isaiah 53, the great prophet said, in prophesying about Jesus coming, but he was wounded for what? Our transgression. He was bruised for our what? Our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Our souls are healed. That also there is a future redemption. Let me turn. I won't have you to turn to it. Here in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sin in his own. Now, by the way, I do believe God can heal and answer to prayer, but he doesn't always choose to do it. I know when I had prostate cancer, I said, Lord, heal me if it's your will, but most of all, Lord, if you don't heal me, just be with me. And he was with me every day. I won't go into that. You've heard me tell about that. But, you know, if the Lord goes with us, that's his presence is there. That's almost better than healing. And finally, after 75 radiations, I did get rid of that cancer so far. It's been about 12, 14 years, but it hadn't come back. But anyway, he was bruised for our iniquity. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And then let me give you, and you can turn in your Bibles to, we've got about 2 or 3 minutes. No, I'm not going to turn there because it talks about the resurrection body, the perfect body. Let me get E right quick. We've got 2 or 3 minutes. The consequences. Number one, once we belong to Satan, now that we get redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, by faith in God's Son, we belong to God and we're bought with a price. And we were children of wrath, now we're children of God. Number two, our life's aim now should be to glorify God. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6 right quick. And I'll get this in before we leave. 1 Corinthians 6. Verses 19 and 20. Because we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, here, folks, is how we ought to live. Chapter 6, 19. What know you not that your body is the temple, the residing place of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. You're bought, for you are bought with a price. And because of this, therefore, glorify God in your body. Now, we might differ on what separated living is and what holy living is, but we ought to try to please God and live by the book and try to please Him. And if we are redeemed, we're to glorify God in our body, in our spirit, which are God's. Well, I'm going to let you out about 2 minutes early here. Let's sing it, redeemed, I am so happy in Jesus. Now, let me go. I got the wrong song there. Let's go get 246 here. Let me go. I started to sing another song on redemption there. 246, come on here. Redeemed, redeemed how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever. Lift it out now. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever. Well, I'm glad Brother Gary asked me to teach. I enjoyed teaching on redemption. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for our wonderful Savior and our wonderful Redeemer. You're dismissed.